Well, I want to jump in for a few minutes here, and I've been sharing on a subject that is dear to me. I've lived through a few things. I think anybody who's lived any length of time, you've experienced something in your body. I'm going to talk a little bit. I'm going to hook up where I was on sharing on the subject of healing, divine healing. And I believe it will help us because if you live long enough, you're going to you will experience something. And when I say that, I mean you will have a faith fight. You will have a fight. You know, I don't care whether it's a cold or the flu or some kind of disease or ailment, you may experience that. I'm not saying you will. If you're in this earth, your body is not incorruptible, it's not redeemed, it's corruptible. But in the interim, I'd say in the gap, in the stopgap, we've got those that are born again. I've got the Spirit of God in me, and Romans 8:11 says that if we have the Spirit of God in us, He quickens our what? Our mortal bodies. So we have God's Word and His Spirit to help us. And so it's important that when we are living this faith walk, that we depend. What does it say in Proverbs 3, verses 5, 6, and 7? It says what? Trust in the Lord. That means have confidence in Him. Assurance. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Not your head, your heart. For what? And lean not to your own understanding or reasoning in all your ways. That just don't mean the things you like, but the things that you're struggling with. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will do what? Direct your paths. He'll show you. I like what the New Living Translation says. It says, He will show you which path to take. You know, man, I tell you, I went through a couple of things. I needed to know which path to take. You know, when you get married, you invest money, you spend, you know, when you spend your money, you want to know where to spend it to get the best value, don't you? So don't just think, well, I'm going in there and shop. Because now you're leaning to your own understanding. You know, I've told you through the years, I've been sitting in my office here, and the Holy Ghost said, go across the street to Men's Warehouse. And I said, I don't want to go. I got enough clothes. I don't need it. And I fussed in my mind, I did, because it came from here. I was in my office working, and I heard, go to Men's Warehouse. And I went, I ain't going there. Now, that's full of faith, right? You think, you know, we're all like, da-da-da-da, we heard God, He's going to tell you to go over there, right? You know, most of you women are looking for that. But most of us are so carnally minded that we miss the prompts. I wasn't looking for it, and yet I didn't want to go. So finally, when I left her, I said, well, I'll go. I'll go. And so I walk in, and they had sport jackets marked down to $100, and they were cashmere, and they were $600 and $700. He knows how to get good stuff to you. If you will listen. He knows how to get groceries to you. He knows how to have, if you need to go to the doctor, He knows how to show you which doctor to go to. Stop listening. You know, I told you, you've heard me tell this story. In 2000, I abused some things. Well, I'd leading up. I just went overboard with drinking coffee. And I burned my stomach out. And I was in pain for a year. And I said, I'm going to take this word because I had been working the word, but this was extreme. And I'm still singing in the choir, and I'm still working, not working, but standing at the pulpit, leading worship. And anybody who knows, if you've got pain in your stomach, I'm talking about not a little pain, a lot of pain. I couldn't sleep at night. I was up all night. This went on for a year. And finally, when I came home from vacation, I'm still releasing words. I'm healed. But he knows things about us that you don't know. And I stood in the shower and the Holy Ghost, real soft, not with trumpets, real soft, said, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. That was July. And it took me another 2 weeks, because I had been standing in faith, took me another 2 weeks to get up off of that and say, fool, that was the Holy Ghost. He knows something you don't know. That's all I'm really trying to say. Be open to be led. Now, am I saying just be quick to go to the doctor? No. What I'm saying is trust him, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll lead you to take the right path. That's all we're saying. If he leads you to stand on the word and stay steady, do it. But if you get a prompt to go do something, do it. Because you be in deep hurt. I would have been 6 feet under if I hadn't gone. Because I went and I ended up, just like I said, when I went to the emergency room. I had the top specialist look at me. And then they went and sent me, he had me come during the week. I wouldn't go back. I didn't. He was a top specialist. And I walked in and I said, something doesn't feel right. And it wasn't my hurting stomach. It was spiritual. I didn't have peace. I had no peace. And even in all of that, you know, with turmoil and busyness, our spirit is connected to heaven. The Holy Ghost lives in it, and he can create a setting where you don't have peace. He's like saying, stop, don't go another step. And so I didn't. I never went back. They call, I said, no, I ain't going back. I don't have peace. And you all know the difference between peace and no peace. And so I didn't go back. And I ended up going to a chiropractor. You'd think, well, chiropractor. I went, and he was a nutritionist. And in 2 weeks, my stomach was turned around. And it was diet, 2 weeks. And here I was going to a top specialist, and this chiropractor, who was a nutritionist, see, it's going to the right people. He said, you know, your stomach will heal in 5 days if you don't put food in it. I'm thinking, but you mean that top specialist didn't know that? He didn't tell me that? So he went out the door. He said, here, take this. He didn't tell me what to eat, not to eat. I could have gone and had me a big cheeseburger with pepperoni pizza and all of that or whatever. He didn't tell me nothing. That's what I'm telling you. This was a top specialist. But I'm not digging that. What I'm saying is make sure you hear from him. Trust in God. Because in these times that we live in, you know, we were coming home Friday from the village. And I got a call from Rhema, from the RMAI national director, and I was out mowing, and I felt my wrist buzz, and I said, oh, I gotta get this call, and I missed it. So we're busy and doing stuff, and I didn't get back to it for about another 15 minutes. So that time everybody was sitting in the car waiting for me. Come on, we'll get out of here, we wanna go. So I just said, no, I'm impressed to take this call. So we took the call. It took me 10 minutes. We got on the road maybe in 15 minutes. So what, we were behind. We didn't leave at 2. We left at 2:30. But when we got down on Route 80, there was a big accident that if we had been about 15 minutes earlier, we'd have been right in the middle of it. So all I'm saying is, be led. Be led. Brother Hagin used to talk about it when he was alive. He'd get a prompt. He said, "Now we can't leave right now." Why? Well, the Holy Ghost said, "Don't leave right now." Now, am I saying we're doing that all the time? No. But be led. Be sensitive. Don't be so caught up. What does the scripture say? I'm trying to start here. But the scripture says, 2 Corinthians 4:18, "Look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen, because the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal." So you don't see the Holy Ghost, but you sense him, you know him. He's eternal, and he's in you. Listen to him. Amen. Because the devil's trying to kill you. He wants to kill, steal, and to destroy. But we've got the greater one in us to help us in everything we do. Everything. You know, I have trained myself. That's the best word I can use. That through the years, I'm not talking about, this isn't something, this is 40 plus years of doing this, that if I get a little prompt, or if I get a thought that comes up in my mind, I'm not even thinking about it, I stop and check it out. I stop and check it out. And the reason I do that is because when it's God and he's prompting you and you ignore it, and you say, "Well, why don't God talk to me?" Because you ignore him. You ignore the little prompts. I'm telling you, the simplest things, when I'm driving back from Pennsylvania, check this. I'll go and I'll go, "Why am I, what am I going to find now?" And I'm not looking for it. Lights are on, air conditioning may be on, or you know, there's been a few times, and I do it not to check up, but just God is trying to protect us. He's trying to help us. And so sometimes he'll get a prompt. Maybe they left the sound system on in here. It doesn't happen that often, but they go, "Oh, I got busy and I forgot." But the Holy Ghost, it's not to say, "How come you didn't lift that on?" No, the Holy Ghost is here to help us. We're a team. We're a team with God, right? And he's trying to help us. He's not trying to check up on people. He's just trying to say, "Hey, I'm open. And if you don't, you know, we want to hear him in the big things. You ain't listening in the little things." That's all I'm trying to say. Get used to hearing him in the little stuff. And when he speaks, you go, "That was him. And I know it." That's all I'm trying to say. Because in these seasons that we're in, I'm telling you, the noise is being amplified and the noise in society, and you better know his voice. Not only his voice, but his word. Because the Spirit of God and the Word of God will agree. So don't come up and say, "The Holy Ghost told me." You know, I heard this. "The Holy Ghost told me." And you go, "Yeah, okay. The Holy Ghost told me not to work." Really? Okay. So be hungry. Because the scripture says if you don't work, you don't eat. So go to be hungry. You know, people do silly stuff. But I'm just saying the word and the spirit agree. Hallelujah. We're trying to talk about healing today. Anyways. But it all flows together. Amen. It all works together. So here's the question And we may pick up on this Wednesday because this is really where I'm connecting from a couple Wednesdays ago. And it's important to hear because I had a path and I was going down. I had some thoughts. And as I'm leaving my office, now I'm going on the stream in 3 minutes. I'm walking over here 4 minutes. And I heard in my spirit Matthew 28. I have all power and authority in heaven and earth. And I heard and I went, hmm. So I got over here. I got a minute or two. I'm quick looking that up. And I went, huh, okay. So I began to see the Holy Ghost was giving me some direction. And I want to hook up with that and look at that in the light of healing. But the question, you know, we got asked today is healing for all? Now, most we've been taught, and the answer is yes. But there are many that would ask that question. You know, God is not moved by our need. God is, you know, people are like, oh, God, I need help. He's not moved by your need. Because if he was, he'd be moving all over the place. God is moved by our faith in him. And faith begins where the will of God is known. If you want to know what God thinks, look at Jesus. Because when we see Jesus throughout his ministry, he said, I don't do anything of my own self except my Father who did what? Shows me what to do and what to say. So if we want to see that, were there a lot of needs during Jesus' time? Oh, yeah. And so God did what? He anointed him with the Holy Ghost to go about doing good and healing what? All who are oppressed of the devil. So God moves by our faith. He responds to our faith. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he's what? He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So is it God's will to heal everybody all the time? And the answer is yes. Is it his will to heal everybody now? See, a lot of people pause and say, well, I know God can, but God, will he heal now, right now? You know, that doesn't mean, well, I'm going to wait a day or a minute or two. Right now. It's his will to heal us now. So let's take a look. I'm going to just look quickly here. Romans 12:2. And as we know, the Word of God reveals the will of God. The Word of God reveals the will of God. So how can we find the will of God? How do we find it? How do we know when we have it? You know, is it results-based? Does that mean if I get healed, it must have been the will of God? If I don't, you know, there are many people, I'm talking about in Christendom, that say, well, we prayed and they didn't get healed and begin to do what? Not only doubt, but they begin to say, well, you know, maybe it must have been God's will. Maybe it was their time to go home. Now, I'm not trying to be funny or to step on anybody, or maybe they've had an experience, but God's will, unless he tells you it's your time to come home, please don't insert that in there. Because God's will is in his word. Brother Hagin said, you know, it's an interesting thing. He said people who were on death's door, he would minister to them and say, you know, and he would minister the word and they would get to the place where they would receive healing from and through him. And he said, you know, it's an interesting thing. Because many he told stories of who he ministered to, they just said, you know what, I'm tired, I want to go home. And these were people that knew the word and said, I'm just tired, I don't want to fight anymore, I just want to go home to be with Jesus. And he said, well, that's okay, that's good. He said, why don't you get healed, and then if you want to go home, then go home. And he said, you know what would happen? Once they get healed, they didn't want to go home. And he said, that's usually what happens. They get tired and discouraged, and they're like, I don't want to fight anymore. I want to go home. But the minute they get healed, then they want to stay. So I think we need to look at that and say, look, let's fight this fight of faith. And so when we want to know, it's not results-based, because if healing was results-based, well, then you'd have to take that same thing. Remember, Malachi says God doesn't change. So if we're going to have results-based where healing is concerned, does that also mean that we apply that same logic and say, do we have results-based where salvation is concerned? Well, you know, if I prayed and I went to heaven, it must have been his will. But if I didn't, well, I guess it wasn't. That's too late. So healing, anything where God is concerned, it's based on faith. It's based on redemption. It's based on what's been bought and paid for by the blood of God. And having faith in that, I receive from him by faith. This is what we're saying and have said in past lessons, that which is eternal, what does it say? His word is forever settled in heaven. So if his word is eternal and my spirit is eternal and I'm connected to eternity, how do I bring that which is eternal over into this realm of time? I bring it over by faith. And I take what's eternal, look not at those things which are unseen or seen, but look at the unseen. The things that are unseen are what? Eternal. You can't see healing, but it's eternal. It's been paid for. You can't see the promises of God, those things that are settled in heaven, but they're eternal. How do I take that which is eternal? I take the word of God, which is what? The word of God is eternal. It's eternally settled. And I take that eternal word and I take hold of something in eternity and I take it by faith and it does what? It begins to manifest in this realm. Just think about it. We've shared this. It says Jesus was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So he was in eternity. He left unequaled glory. He left glory, unequaled glory, and came into this realm of time. But he already existed. And so what does it say in Galatians? In the fullness of what time? He manifested and he was born of a virgin, right? And an eternal seed was planted in him, in her, and he was born. Sinless. He was our substitute. So we can see that how did that come to fruition? Because this is why we want to be sensitive and hear. We are the body of Christ. God wants to work through the body. How did his will get accomplished here in this earth? Because he spoke to prophets of old, and they did what? They spoke it. And so words of faith were released that allowed God to do what? Respond to it. And he watched over his word, his will, and in the fullness of time, Jesus came on the scene. So it's no different. When we want healing, we want provision, it already exists. And I need to take it by faith. Faith is the substance of things, what? Hoped for, expected, the evidence of something, what? Not seen. It's in eternity. And by faith, I take hold of it, and I release faith-filled words, and in the fullness of time, it manifests. This is what we're talking about where healing is concerned. In the fullness of time, it could be 1 minute, it could be 10 minutes, it could be 2 weeks, it could be 5 years. But in time, in the fullness of time, my faith causes it to come into being. Right? So don't give up. Don't say, I've been doing this for so long, I don't see anything. Listen to him. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not to your what? Your reasoning. Lean not to your reasoning. I've been doing this. That's reasoning. I've been doing this. You're looking at results. You're trying to make this results-based instead of covenant. You're in covenant with God through the blood of Jesus. He entered in once into the holy place and did what? Obtained my eternal redemption, period. Once and for all. He's the one that did it. So all I need to do is take hold of it, receive it, release my faith-filled words, and expect it to happen and come. Whatever that is. We're talking about healing, but it could be something else. It could be, you know, so often, young individuals, they're looking for direction in life. They want direction. They're wondering, which way do I go? You're getting out of high school, you're going to college, which direction for me? You know, what do I do? There's a lot on somebody's plate. And if they don't have the right direction, if they don't have help, so even if you didn't get it from your parents, I didn't get it. And both my parents graduated from Cornell University. They both were well-educated. But, you know, they didn't say, oh, you have to go to college. You know, I wanted to go. But the point was that in an environment, we loved God, we went to church, we loved Jesus, but we weren't taught about hearing the Holy Ghost. My parents trusted God. Man, they had to with 7 kids. You had to trust God to put food on the table. You know, when I graduated college, I remember I was making more than my father was. And I felt funny because he worked all these years and I'm making more money than he is. And he's supporting 7 kids and a house and a mortgage and 2 cars. And I thought, how the heck's he doing that? God, trusting God. So I'm thinking, you know, people today, they're thinking, well, yeah, if I ain't making $100,000 and $200,000, I ain't making enough money. You're a fool. I'm not saying making that kind of money is not right, but if you do it at the exclusion of God, you will never have enough. You will never have enough. So whenever we go through life, trust in him. I don't care what you're doing. And whatever stage you are in life, trust him. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he'll direct your path. You know, I remember when we worked here, how many remember, I'll use his name because I worked with him for so many years, Darius Sweet. I remember him. And he worked... he worked with a number of oil companies major. He worked with Exxon when he got out of MIT. And then he, as a chemical engineer, he worked with them. And then he went to Hess. And then he worked his way up through the ranks. And he was a senior, or I think he was a vice president over an area. And he worked directly with Mr. Hess when he was alive. And I remember he would come here dutifully. I mean, just faithfully, 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 faithfully every week, Sunday and Thursdays for choir. He'd be chasing up to get here. Faithful, faithful, faithful. And he told me one time, we're sitting at the board. He'd be sitting there with his BlackBerry. You know, that's when we have BlackBerries. He was sitting there with his BlackBerry coordinating ships of fuel coming up out of the Caribbean to come up here, tankers of oil. And I remember he told me, he said one time, he said, Ed, he said, there's a lot of people smarter than I am, but God has opened doors of favor to me. And I went back and I looked at that. I said, that man sowed his time into this ministry, and doors of opportunity just opened to him. He said, this is what he told me. He said, I couldn't make that happen. He said, there were people smarter than me that could have had my job, could have. He said, but favor was extended to me. Now, it didn't mean he wasn't bright. He was very bright. But the doors opened. So don't poo-poo, well, I ain't got time to come and clean a bathroom or mow a lawn or do some yard work or whatever. This man came and supported when we were, you know, I would jump out, go sing in the choir. He and the team would be up there running sound, but faithful. And so often, you know, that's why I say it's seed time and harvest. You cannot put a price tag where God is concerned on it's not doing to get something. He did it out of love for the thing he was doing, love for God. You see. I don't know why I'm saying all this, but I'm telling you, when it comes to healing sometimes, God will come down and work in your midst and look back and say, well, he was doing this, he did this, or she did this, or she did this. And God now is coming in and providing favor and mercy when I need it. Right? Amen. So every good and perfect gift. So we're talking about healing. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. So let me take a look at this here. Matthew, let's go over and take a look at this briefly here. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. And looking at this from the standpoint of healing, and I think it's important sometimes, I think, you know, I never looked at it this way. Sometimes, like Brother Hagin would say, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. The more you know, the more you realize you don't know. You think you know, until the Holy Ghost reveals something and you go, wow, I didn't see that. So Matthew 28 in the King James, we're familiar with this. I'm going to read this also in the New Living and Passion. It says, and Jesus spake unto them, saying, it's before he's returned to heaven, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to do what? Observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always even unto the end of the earth. So no matter, you know, there's two things here. He's saying here, I have all power and authority in heaven and earth. Now you go forth. So a lot of times people are saying, God, do something. Please do something. I have a need. He said, I have all authority and power. Now you go forth. And when we look back and we look during the Acts of the Apostles and we look through the Ephesians and Galatians and we look at and Colossians and we look at the ministry of Paul, Paul was what? He walked in the authority and power that was conferred. He would decree things. And so when it comes to sickness and disease, we need to operate and think, I've been given authority and power to speak to that which is forbidden in heaven, here on this earth. That which is forbidden in heaven, whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. The modern translations say, whatever I forbid on earth must already be forbidden in heaven. What's forbidden in heaven? Certainly sickness. Whatever I allow on earth must already be allowed in heaven. That's what the translations say. Well, what's allowed in heaven? Healing. So I command health and healing in this body. In the name of Jesus. And he's been given a name above every name in heaven and earth. And so all I'm sharing here is that let's take a look at the New Living Translation. And they'll put that up on the screen if you don't have it. And it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And I like this. And be sure of this. See, be sure of this. I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So no matter what you're walking through in life, you need to remind yourself, he's with me. Always. No matter about all the noise and the people who say, I don't believe in God, I don't believe all that stuff. You go like this. That's okay. He's with me. I don't know about you, but God said to me, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So no matter where you go and what circumstance you may find yourself in, you need to remind yourself, say, self, God is with me. He leads me. He guides me. He loves me. He speaks to me. I know his voice. Now, the Passion Translation of this in Matthew 28:18, it says, Then Jesus came close to them and said, All the authority of the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority. That makes it a little plain, doesn't it? Now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you, and never forget, see, I like this, never forget that I am with you every day. Every day. Never forget, I am with you. You know, you could get somebody barking up in your face and telling you this and that and what for and what their opinion is, and you just can just say to yourself, Father, I'll never forget you're with me. You see them. You hear them. Pray for them. They just don't see it yet. but he's with you. Hallelujah. Even to the completion of this age. So when it comes to this, his name, his word, and his blood have all authority over darkness. Say that. His name, his word, and his blood have all authority over darkness. See, his name is above every name. His word is forever settled in heaven. And his blood have all authority. See, what does it say in Hebrews? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So the blood has secured our eternal redemption. So the name and the word and the blood have all authority over darkness. You know, I've shared this so many times because it's so real to me. When the Holy Ghost fell upon me, this was my sister was getting married, and I remembered a man she married, who's still married after almost 40 years, have a nice family and still believing for his salvation. But he got right up here in my face and beat his chest and said, "The devil lives in here." And it was just that quick as he did it. You couldn't think that fast. Somebody get up in your face, just catch you by surprise. And he got right here, and just that quick, it felt like a coat. That's the best way I could say it in the natural. Felt like a coat drop on me. And I felt the power of God. And up right out of my spirit came these words: "I'm not afraid of demons or devils. I'm protected by the blood of Jesus." And demons know the name, they know the power of the word, and they know the power of the blood. And I tell you what he did. He took, when I said that, it was a sword, because the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between soul and spirit. And he took one look at me and turned around and walked out of the room and wouldn't look at me for 3 days in the house. Would not. And even to this day, you know, there's times when I've been in his company, he'll make some comments and I just ignore it. It's almost like a mock. He knows. He knows who is in me. And don't change anything. Still love him. Still honor him as a husband. But he knows who I represent. And that's what we need to do. We need to operate in that authority, right? We've been delivered from what? The power of darkness. And translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So when Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now you go in that authority." Well, he stripped the devil of his authority over you. You are now in God's kingdom. You have the right and authority to use his name, to speak his word, and to do what? Plead the blood of Jesus. As what? The body of Christ. So when it comes to healing, this is God's provision, and we have what? Access to it. It's God's provision. What did he say in Exodus? "I am the Lord that" what? "Healeth thee." He's the Lord that healeth thee. Matthew 8:17, "That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet." What are we referring to? Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. He You can look that up. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. By the chastisement of our peace, what? With his stripes, we are healed. So one of the things that we have to keep reminding ourselves when we look at Romans, I'll just take a quick look. In the New Living Translation, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Sin, because of Adam's failure or missing it, sin entered into this world, and death because of sin. It says when Adam sinned, sin what? Sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. And so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. So one of the things that we have to realize, how did disease enter in? You know, disease and sickness, you know, there's a word you could say is incipient, or it means the beginning of something. You know, it's just a big word to say that disease is the beginning, can be the beginning of death. And so if you let something go long enough, there's death. But sickness and disease came in through sin. It says death by sin. So disease entered in by sin, so what? If sin was paid for through redemption, through Christ as our substitute, then sickness was paid by him. Because sin was paid for and death came in, disease came in because of death, then the remedy has to be in redemption. The remedy has to be in the cross. The remedy has to be in what? The blood. The remedy has to be in the Word. So disease is really, as this writer put, is the physical penalty of iniquity. It's the physical penalty because of sin. But we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us, the Gentile. So, since God, he through Christ, what did Jesus say? He said that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Life, that word is Zoe. It's the his nature. So that was God speaking through Jesus, his will for all mankind. So if God's will is that we should walk in health and healing, he's paid for that. So how do we access it? How do we receive it? By faith. We take hold of that. And what he provided, just think about it. In the old covenant, we have a new covenant established on better promises. But he provided for them, his people, in the old covenant. So if you look at Psalm 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. When we read before, forget not that he's with you every day, but forget not all his benefits. And then what else does it say? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities or sins or transgressions, who healeth all thy diseases. See, that word all power and authority has been given to him. He has what? Healed all of our diseases. All of them. So don't lean to your understanding thinking, well, maybe. No, there's no maybe. He's saying here, he healeth all thy diseases. So we need direction, don't we then? We need to trust him, acknowledge him in all our ways. Acknowledge him meaning what? Thank you, Lord, that you healed me. Now show me how to walk in this. Show me how. Direct me. Because he said, I'll direct you on the right path. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22, it says, my son, verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them what? Not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are what? Life unto those that find them, and what? Health to all your flesh. That means what? Medicine. Health. That word health means medicine, it means deliverance, it means healing. You know, I was thinking about, just a thought came to my mind, you know, so many things that we tolerate in life. You know, my sister, she's retired now, but she worked her entire career as a registered nurse. She worked down in New York City in the OR. She worked there many years in delivering and, you know, in the helping the doctors deliver babies. And then she changed and switched and went into the school system. But I remember her, you know, sharing some things that, you know, she would teach to just share this with her own immediate family. She said she trusted God for easy deliveries and confessed it and said it and spoke it, and she had it. She didn't expect hard deliveries. She didn't expect it. You know how they say, well, you know, da-da-da, you know, you're going to have this, it's going to be, you know, labor can be to. She didn't have it because she confessed for something different that was provided for. You might say, well, see, that kind of worldly thinking has been so ingrained, we teach it sometimes as parents to our children. I'm not saying you are. You look at me like a dog with a new pan, you know, but I'm saying some folks, if you're willing to admit it, would say, you know, if you don't know the word and you don't know the promises of God and you don't know the will of God, then you're subject to say anything. Your own opinion. That's all I'm really saying. You may share your own opinion. Well, you know what I went through. My sister didn't. She said she's there with the doctor and she's like, boom, out. And the doctors were there like, whoa, 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 whoa. Right? Now, she shared stories, you know, of different cultures. You know, she said you had to be very conscious of Asian women because she said, I'm ready to have the baby. And you go, yeah, okay. You know, knowing how other people are in the delivery room, you would go through a process. She said, didn't mean that with some women. It's like, I'm ready to go. And it's like, you better be there, ready. So all I'm sharing is that, you know, just some light story here, that don't expect what the world tells you. you know, sometimes women go through things and maybe they're having a challenge during a pregnancy. And doctors will say things. Believe God. Trust God in everything. Trust God in everything. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. All your ways. You know, sometimes we compartmentalize things. The Passion Translation of Proverbs 4:22, it says, "Then as you unwrap my words," I like sometimes the way the Passion Translation says things, "as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being." Where is the core of your being? Your heart, your spirit. That's why it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Healing, remember, healing manifests itself in the natural, but it's eternal. Healing has been paid for. Where is that received? In your eternal spirit. And it does what? It manifests itself in this flesh. So we need to think about that. Healing comes first into this heart, into this spirit. Hallelujah. So as we're kind of concluding here, let's just read 1 Peter 2:24 in the King James. It says, "Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being what? Dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." You know, I would just say one thing. As a Christian, as a person who's received eternal life, eternal life has come into my what? My spirit. And that means his nature, his life, his love, his power has come into my spirit, man. And my spirit then affects this physical body by his spirit, right? The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if he dwells in me, he quickens my mortal body. So the healing power of God comes into my spirit. That's why we need to keep feeding upon the Word of God. It's spiritual. We need to keep praying in the Holy Ghost, building ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The more you pray in the Holy Ghost, you are more open and sensitive to his direction. The more you keep running through life with your head engaged in things here, I'm not saying that you won't hear him, but the more you engage your soul with this world, then it becomes more difficult to hear him. So you need to pray in the Spirit, pray in the Holy Ghost. When you need direction, when you need to know what to do in life, and we're all faced with it, from the simplest decision to the most complex, lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him. Just, you know, I tell people all the time, just talk to him like you'd be talking to me. Wringing your hands, frustrated, running your lips. You know, telling me about all your stuff and telling me, when you get done, I go, okay. Okay, what does God say about it? Well, I don't know. I'm waiting on him. Well, get quiet. Stop looking at the problem, because you're not going to fix it with natural means. When, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be a spiritual solution. Now, you may use natural things, but God is going to speak to you and show you how to walk through an issue, whatever that is. He's going to show you how. And so I just share that when it comes to healing. What do you do when the doctor says, I'm sorry, Mr. Jones or Mrs. Jones, there's nothing else we can do? That's not the time to start banging on heaven's doors. You should have been listening and listening and listening when God said, change your diet, walk more, get some more sleep. And you go, I ain't doing that. But he's been trying to help, and you didn't think it was the Holy Ghost, but it was him all along. Or we might not be walking in love with somebody or walking in strife. You know, all these little things can affect us in the natural. So it's be sensitive. Say be sensitive. Listen to him. Hear him in the small things. In the little things. In the little stuff. You know, he's giving us opportunities to make adjustments. You know, I heard a minister share this the other day. It was a few weeks ago. Turn over, I'll close with this. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, we read this when we receive communion. And so here's just a little example where we need to make adjustments in our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and it says here in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man do what? Examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself, not what? Discerning the Lord's body. Now, this is the verse I want to get to. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And this minister made this point. He said, you see the progression? Many were weak, and they didn't make an adjustment. They were just weak, and they didn't correct something. Then they became sickly. And they didn't make an adjustment, and many sleep. So sometimes we're given an opportunity when something's going on, make an adjustment. I don't want to do that. And then it progresses. And you get another opportunity, I don't want to do that. And then it progresses. You see the point? So it's just said, many are weak, sickly, and many sleep. So there's a progression there that we're given opportunities to examine ourselves and correct something. Examining can just be, you know, we don't like to use this word sometimes, but consecration. And when I say consecration, I mean, Lord, I consecrate myself, I commit myself, commit thy works unto the Lord, and he'll direct your path. So you commit, you consecrate, you say, Lord, I commit myself to you today, use me today. I consecrate, I commit myself to you, your ways, your voice, your direction this day. And he will lead us. Amen. Hope that helps a little bit. In the name of Jesus. Because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. You know, we should be, since we are the body of Christ and we have been redeemed, we are joint heirs, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus, then we should be a reflection of vibrant health. I said should be. We should be representative of vibrant health and healing. Not only in our physical bodies, but our soul. We shouldn't be raggedy with our thinking. We should be an example of Him here in the earth. Right? Now that's a process, I understand. But it starts with hearing Him and acknowledging Him and say, Lord, help me to be a reflection of You in my walk, in my talk, in my habits. Amen? You know, I'm committed to not be or to be a reflection in those areas, in my soul, in my speech, in my thinking, in my talk, in my walk, even in my health. I want to be and I desire and decree that I am a reflection of health. Amen. And we can be. It just means that I need to ask Him before I open my lips to woof down something, that I ask Him, should I eat this? That's all I'm trying to say. Because even in the natural today, they're saying, don't want to get natural here, but spiritual laws, when we look at spiritual laws, I mean, even in the natural now, they're saying that aging is impacted and accelerated because of inflammation. And inflammation goes back to what you whipping over your lips. And so we have to think about that and ask God, God, what should I be eating? What should I be doing so that health flourishes? Now, obviously, health is not all natural because we said health comes from Him in my spirit. But you can't be believing God and then hitting your hand with a hammer. So it's natural. Pastor Hagin said the same thing. We live in this natural body. We live in this natural earth, but we're spirit beings. So we run on two parallel tracks. We're natural and spiritual. We're connected to heaven, and we have this physical body, this suit to operate in this earth. So you need guidance because this earth is corrupted. And the stuff they're doing today, I don't want to get sidetracked on that. No, I'm serious. The stuff they're doing today to your food is unconscionable. I'm serious. And it's ungodly. And we need to be led as to what, how to conduct ourselves. We are what? The temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank You for Your word today. Thank You that it's life to us. It's Zoe life to us. And this life is energizing us and strengthening us in the name of Jesus. And we thank You for the supernatural life of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, thank You for revealing truth to us and helping us walk in this earth and be a witness. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Just before we dismiss, there's two things. If anybody needs prayer, prayer, needs hands laid upon them, wants to have something removed from their body. If you want that, you know, there's something. Let me just read this. I know we've finished. But in Mark chapter 1, there's a story of someone that came to Jesus looking for healing. And he asked him, Lord, if it be your will, you know, this is the Passion Translation. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. It says, on one occasion a leper came and threw himself down in front of Jesus, pleading for his healing, saying, you have the power to heal me right now. Well, I like the way this says this. You have the power to heal me right now, if only you want to. Being deeply moved with tender compassion, Jesus reached out and touched the skin of the leper and told him, of course I want you to be healed. So now be cleansed. You know, something that Brother Hagin shares, and I love his stories through the years and other ministers, but he said one of the things he noticed about people who received healing, I'm not talking about hoping and a praying, those that came expecting to be healed. He said after he taught the word, and it may be a number of times, they came up and said, you just lay hands on me and I will be healed. The individual said that. You just lay hands on me. That's expectation. That's confidence in God. Not, I'm going to lay hands on you and you just agree and believe. No, they came saying, I'm convinced of the word of God. I'm convinced that when you lay hands upon me, the power of God will go into me and I will be healed. And he said, almost 10 times out of 10, every single time those individuals came, he felt the power of God go into them, and they were healed. Most not immediately, but in time, whether it's a day, 2 days, 3 days, 5 days, 2 months, every symptom left their body. Every symptom. But they came expecting, just like this. You have the power to heal me now. So that's all I'm sharing. So when you come in faith, come expecting. Now, if you're not at that point, that's why Brother Hagin would keep teaching. Even Jesus did that. When he could not, when the people didn't respond, he went into the villages preaching and teaching and healing. He would preach and teach and heal. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. So if you're not at that point of confidence, keep watering. Keep watering. Keep watering. Keep watering. And it'll come. So before we dismiss, if anybody's here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus, and most, I would say, do, but if perchance somebody's here, somebody's watching online, we are to do what is the scripture? Romans 10, 9 and 10. We're to believe unto righteousness and to do what? Confession shall be made unto salvation. We believe that Jesus is the Christ and we believe that he was raised from the dead. So if you're here today and you've never done that, or you're watching online and you've never done that, this is an opportunity to ask him into your heart, into your spirit. He will change you instantly, redeem you, make your spirit brand new. And we thank God for that. That's so real to me, being a brand new person in Christ. So let's make this simple profession. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to receive you as my Savior. I thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending Jesus to this earth as my substitute in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Thank you that he bore my sins. He bore my sicknesses, and he took them to hell. And when they were paid for, we were raised from the dead. And I thank you now that I receive Jesus as my Savior. I ask you into my heart, cleanse me with the blood of Jesus, and I decree that I am saved, and I will worship you and serve you all the days of my life. Now, if you said that simple prayer, then that just means that you've accepted Jesus, you've become born again, you've become saved, as the scripture says, you've received eternal life, and your spirit has changed. And so if you just let us know, or those online that are watching, let us know, and we'll send you or give you some free information as to who you have become. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God.